You're listening to The Cowboy Pages. Come with me, Christy Crowley, as I travel America in search of cowboy poets and their wisdom. Today's book, Elko, Nevada, Chapter 12, A Heart-Shaped Leaf. My thoughts on the Elko Gathering. It's time for me to move on and travel yet again. But before I hit the road in search of cowboy poets anew, it seems only fair to reflect on my time at the Elko Cowboy Poetry Gathering. There's much I could say about shared experience, learning, entertainment, but instead, I'll leave you with a story told to me by Joel Nelson in answer to the question, did you always write poetry? Is that something you did as a kid? Is it?
I didn't write poetry as a kid unless it was a class assignment. My mother read poetry to me a lot when I was really young, and I had two incredibly wonderful literature teachers who had a great love for poetry in high school. I had a college roommate who really loved Robert W. Service, and when we should have been writing a term paper, we'd turn off all the lights, set a kerosene lamp in the center of the table and light it, and read Robert W. Service poems to one another out of a book. And the second month I was in Vietnam, I got a letter from a young lady who I didn't know, and she was the roommate of one of my college roommates' stepsister. She thought, well, here's a guy in Vietnam that might appreciate a letter, so she wrote me a letter.
Wow.
And when I opened it, perfume. And a picture of her in a black lace slip and a cigarette in a long cigar, a cigarette holder like the movie stars used to use, and lots of makeup. Just kind of a little funny picture. I mean, she intended it to be funny and humorous. But we started writing one another, and we wrote each other the whole length of time that I was in Vietnam, 14 months. But in February 1970, I was writing a letter to her, and I thought, it's close to Valentine's Day. I'm going to write a poem to her. So I wrote her a poem for Valentine's Day, and I fished around through the jungle till I found a leaf that was shaped somewhat like a heart and put that in there. That was the first poetry that I ever wrote, other than a class assignment, maybe. And we never met. I think I called her one time when I got back from Vietnam. But I've got a short piece of prose that I wrote titled The Letter, and it's the story of that whole scene and how I carried that picture, which still had the perfume scent, and I wrapped it up in a battery bag so that the scent wouldn't escape and to keep it from getting wet, and carried that all the way through Vietnam. And when I married after Vietnam, my first wife could not handle the fact that that picture was around, so I burned it, and that's in this little prose piece that I wrote about burning the picture and watching the ashes drift away in the breeze. That was my first poetry writing, 1970.
For me, this story captures so much. Not only is it a delicate and sweet story I wouldn't imagine a cowboy telling, its very personal and revelatory nature make it like a gift given. Joel Nelson and I had never met before that day in Elko when we sat down to speak. And in fact, I don't think he was so keen to be there at the start. But things shifted. We shifted. The power of language, the power of story, the power of shared experience, the very nature of the Elko gathering brought us together and built a bridge. It melts my heart that Joel Nelson shared that story with me, with us. I think of those two young people, a world apart, forming a bond through letters alone, and marvel at how removed it all was, and yet how personal. She must have worried about her friend and then felt easy when his letter came. He must have been so scared for life, for honor, for country, for comrades, and then simply giddy when the letter opened and that first waft of perfume hit his nose. He must have seen so much while she was left to know so little. The power of a scent lingering, the sound that rings in our dreams, the feel of words on paper and in our mouths. Aren't these the things we recall? The things we hold dear? I don't know that I'll ever hear anything so lovely as the story of a man walking through the jungle looking for a heart-shaped leaf. For me, this story and its vivid images are pressed in my mind forever, probably just like a heart-shaped leaf between the pages of a book, long lost somewhere out there. For me, this is the Elko gathering. It's the best of our humanity, blown up for the taking and delivered by some of the toughest, most brave, and most ornery folks I know. This juxtaposition is where I remember none of us are just one thing. We carry our heart and our heads together. We carry the small triumphs of our past and the promise of our future with us wherever we go. But Elko is also the place I remember the power of words. Words can give a lonely lost soldier hope. They can ignite a whole people toward hatred, end a barroom brawl, soothe a tiny child to sleep. When I think of the people in this world tonight, someplace lost, someplace suffering, I wonder what I might say to them, face to face, person to person, no phone, no email, no filter. I hope my words would be words, not of blame or shame, but of understanding, of possibility, of love. For words received can stay with us for a lifetime. And words given can live on long after we're gone. I'm so thankful to the artists of Elko, to the musicians, to the poets, to the cowboys who've shared their words with me, enriched my story, and inspired me to seek out poetry in all things. And I'm thankful to you for listening. Join me in the following weeks when I travel to Santa Clarita, California, and speak with the Quaby sisters, Adrian Buckaroo Girl, Bren Hill, and musical legend Don Edwards. To hear more about our show, Cowboy Poets, or to see pictures of my travels, visit thecowboypages.com.